Lord, for both of those songs. I see hope in both of them. And isn't that what we feel at the beginning of the year? Is hope? A lot of times, most of the time, first Sunday of each new year, I have a new year message. But I only have a scripture this time. I desire your prayers that the Lord will bless His word to us. So I'm going to read the scripture that the Lord gave me on New Year's Day. And I called it a message for the new year. It's only scripture. First verse is Exodus 12 and 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year. The land whither ye go to possess is a land of hills and valleys. I'm skipping down to Deuteronomy now, Deuteronomy 11. It is a land of hills and valleys, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. And write them upon the doorpost of thine house. Every place the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. If you shall diligently keep these commandments and do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. And that is various verses in Deuteronomy 11. Thank the Lord this morning for a new year and for the hope that we have, that He sees the future and He knows and He's able to take care of us. And you and I don't know the future. We don't know what a day will bring forth, much less even an hour, but God does. So I thank the Lord that we have the assurance that God will be with us no matter what happens. He will care for us. Our thought this morning has to do with treasure. And I want to begin with a very familiar scripture that you and I probably don't know how many messages we have heard down through our life that begins with this passage. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. They will perish. So that's been used so many times, even in my lifetime, maybe yours too. And I'm wondering why we would need to revisit this passage from time to time. I believe the Lord wants us to revisit it and think on it and consider where we are and what's affecting us in life. I believe it's partly because of a verse that is written in a song that we also sing from time to time. And it says, change and decay in all around I see. It goes on and it says, but O thou who changes not, abide with me. I have a passage, several scriptures this morning, from the 73rd chapter of Psalms. I'm going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 and 12 and 16 and 17 and then down to 28. There's a message that you and I need for this year. Verse 1 says, truly God is good to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, the writer here says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 16 says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Up to the side, I have written troublesome in my eyes. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I had a vision. I understood their end. Verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Well, that may be just a passage for us to draw our minds in. We're living in a difficult time. We know not the future. We don't need to know the future. God always has used a veil that you and I don't know what's going to be in our life. And yet when he allows it to come into our life, his grace is well sufficient for us. Thank the Lord. Certainly he does not want us to dwell very much at all on what we observe around us. Even the political news, it is best for you and me to hold very loosely, to not allow it to affect me in my mind. And especially at this time, commit all of your ways unto the Lord, it says, and he will direct your path. He knows how to help us. Change and decay can affect our vision of where we're going, of what our purpose is, of the zeal of my life. Do you have zeal this morning to start out a new year? We need the zeal of the Lord, don't we? I want to have purpose. I want to have desire. I want to have, you know, the scripture speaks about, over in Revelations, it says that that particular body of people were not hot and they were not cold. And they were just lukewarm. See, something happened to their vision. And change and decay affected that vision and they became lukewarm. We need to be hot or cold. I prefer to be hot, but at least you know where you are if you're cold. But when you're lukewarm, you can be drowsy and sleepy, and you're not even considering what's happening to you in your life. And so the Lord is saying this morning, I believe what he's really saying is, be hot for me. Don't let coldness come in. Don't allow lukewarmness. Don't allow the change and decay have anything to do with your vision this morning. So what is our vision? I believe it lies in the fact of those things that you and I treasure. So we want to speak to you on this subject of treasures. Treasures are very important in my zeal. I need to know what the Lord has in store, a scripture that the Lord so graciously blessed to me. Even the next morning after Lauren's passing, was in Deuteronomy 28, a number of verses in there, but one stood out to me recently. Specifically, it says that the Lord will open His treasures unto us. Don't you know He has a treasure box that's full of everything that you and I need to make heaven? I'm not going to look at that treasure box and say, oh, He's going to give me this. He's going to give me a new car. He's going to give me and put any kind of a material thing in there. That's not, doesn't have anything to do with the treasures that He has for you and me this morning. But He wants us to value what He has above all things. Above the things of the world, above the things that I'm looking at in the world, the change and decay, I can have a vision of the treasure that God has for me, for you, for this year, for whatever it is. Thank the Lord. So He wants to open up His treasures unto us this morning. A scripture in Psalms 119 and verse 18, it simply says that. It says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of the law, out of thy law. It will strengthen me. It will settle me. We were speaking with someone and concerning suffering. You and I can value suffering if we look at it in the right way. If we consider the result of suffering, because the word of the Lord says what the result will be. He said He would strengthen us, establish us, and settle us. And we need those attributes right now, that whatever we have to face, we have the faith and the confidence that He is going to help us. Thank the Lord. So we're saying this morning, open thou mine eyes that I can see wondrous things. I can see rich treasures that He has for His people in 2021. I'm thinking of how you and I might pray. I want to encourage us. When the enemy is trying to affect your prayer life, press against it. Have purpose, have desire. Seek for the Lord to renew your desire to come before Him and to believe that He is hearing you and that He is going to answer prayer. These are some things that the Lord seemed to impress upon me, that how I should pray. Let me see the value of spiritual treasure above all the earthly treasures. Let me feed on the rich things above. It takes a vision, see, to see that. Let me taste of your goodness. You have to cultivate a vision of His goodness. In tasting of Him, He said to the people of His time, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and it offended them. If we have a vision of what His flesh represents and what His blood represents, we can plead the blood for many of our problems of life. I plead the blood to cover this problem and that problem, and He does it. The power of His blood and the power of eating His flesh is good for you and me in 2021. It's a rich treasure for His people today. When you have this vision of what it will do for you in your life, oh, reach out and see and taste of Him, that He is good, that His mercy endureth forever. Have a desire for this year to eat of the heavenly manna. He has it for us every day. I want to tell you, the devil is just as alive as he ever was, if not more so. If we quoted the scripture in the past years, which we have, that Satan knows his time is short. He does know his time is short. He knows what's waiting for him at the end of all of this. That means that he is working overtime. Be on your guard. Be watchful and prayerful. Be alert and be conscious. Don't be wrapped up in the cares of this life. Don't be wrapped up in careers of this life. Allow them to be balanced. Little Caden's verse this morning, we actually used it in talking to him. And it says, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. That can be quoted for each one of us from day to day. Remember, don't be wrapped up in this life to the extent that you lose your vision of the next life. Hold this life loosely in your hands. Value the heavenly things. Value those things that will minister to you in spiritual ways and help you to gain victories in this life, for this time, this age, whatever happens, he will care for you. Ephesians, the first chapter in verse 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. Know what? That ye may know the treasures? Yes. You may know what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, who have a vision according to the working of his mighty power. Don't lose your vision of what God can do in your life. Don't lose your vision of what the grace of God can do in your life. Believe in it, trust in it, keep your eyes upon it. One scripture says that you and I need to walk circumspect. We need to be walking all the time awake and alert to the temptations that the enemy might try to bring to us. And remember that God said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. You and I may have some weak areas. I do. We're human. And we may have feelings and thoughts, and we may have battles in our mind, and we may have all of these things right here, but he's looking on. He perceives everything about you. The scripture says that he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of your heart, and he knows how you feel. He knows what your battle is. He has a treasure of grace to pour out upon you and give you victory to rise above these things. My testimony this morning is that the grace of God has meant more to me this year than it ever in my whole life. And I believe that he will continue to manifest his treasure of grace unto me. And he will you too. Whatever happens in your life, thank the Lord. So the eyes of your understanding can be enlightened. Your faith can be strengthened. You can be stronger this year than you were last year. Do you believe that? That's part of those treasures that he wants to give to you and me. And then I'm thinking of how the treasure is something that we value. We really count it as very precious and important. And I can't live without it. Have you ever felt that about some treasure in your life? I just can't live without. You can't live without this treasure. You can't make it if you don't seek after this treasure that he wants to give to you and me. Thank the Lord. Colossians, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3. It says, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I'm going to read that again. Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, of light, of vision, to the knowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures. Do you know that was in there? We might focus more on some of these other words and miss this little word right here. The treasures that are hid. The treasures of wisdom and understanding or knowledge. He wants to prove himself to each one of us. He wants us to know his great power. He wants us to know his keeping grace. He wants us to experience it this coming year as never before. Then I have a scripture over in Proverbs, the 8th chapter, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Don't you know that righteousness and the treasures are synonymous? To eat of his flesh and to have the righteousness in his life and to be embracing his righteousness and receiving his righteousness is a great treasure. Thank the Lord. We value it. When we have tasted and we have seen how good he is, we've experienced his flesh, we've experienced his blood. We can't have it any other way. It's only through Christ. There's no other name whereby men shall be saved. And so it is through this great treasure that I'm able to be here today, saved today, sanctified by his Holy Spirit. It is only through this great treasure and these riches. The world is searching for riches. They're searching for honor. You know, there is no other honor except this honor that is of treasure, that is of value. We cannot have the honor of the world and have the honor of Christ. I have been thinking so much when I would be praying and seeking the Lord for myself. Lord, make me a vessel unto honor. Let this year be your prayer. Let this be your prayer. Lord, make me a vessel that will honor you. Not receive any reputation of the world or praise of the world. We do not accept the praise and the honor of the world. And he says in one place, he said, I will not share my glory with any man. I will not touch your glory. I will not share in your glory. When God is working in us his good treasure, we have nothing to boast of ourselves except to lift him up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Thank the Lord. That's our job. That's our purpose. That's what we need to strive for, to lift him up. When the Lord has been working with me this past year, and as he would come in and give me the grace, what he would say to me is, I want you to demonstrate my grace. When you and I demonstrate the grace of God to overcome our flesh, to overcome the temptations of this life, to overcome anything that the enemy would try to take away from us, try to kill, steal, and destroy. When we demonstrate the grace, what are we doing? We are honoring Him. We're lifting Him up. We are then vessels of honor. Thank the Lord. But these are the durable riches. These riches will not perish with this world. This world is a vast world of much riches. Where we have come from, when you think of the history of our nation and the history even of the whole world and people living in dugouts and riding only horse and buggies and all, and you look at where we are now and compare it, we're a very wealthy world. We have come a long way. You and I don't even know what it's like to live like the pioneers did. The truth is, we are rich. We are, everyone that is here today, we are not paupers. We're not poor. We live in fine houses. We have cupboards that are full. But look away from the material things of life. Get your vision set on the rich treasures above. Thank the Lord. Get your vision on durable riches. It says that durable riches will not have the sorrows of the world. The riches of this world, there are men that have sought after it. The scripture says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. You read that and you think, well, I've had some sorrow in my life. Well, it's not the sorrow like the world. The blessing of the Lord will make us rich and adds no sorrow to it. When people seek after money and become rich in this world, the scripture says they will err from the faith. The scripture says that they will be pierced through with many sorrows, men that love money. The love of money can be a ruination to us. That's why we have to have a spiritual vision this morning of the riches that God has for His people. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking of the balancing of the riches of this world and the riches of Christ. Is there a balance? You and I have to live in this world. We have to have our jobs. We have to have money. And in Proverbs, it tells a balance of it. It's Proverbs, the 30th chapter. And familiar verse, we could probably quote it. Maybe some of you could too. The 30th verse, we're going to look 7 through 9. It says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain. Just wanted to insert this in our little thought this morning. There's the balance. I'm not seeking to be wealthy. And yet I'm saying to the Lord, don't let me be in poverty. I believe that he feeds his people. He cares for his people. It's part of those great riches. There's another scripture, Proverbs 15 and 6. Listen to this. In the house of the righteous is much treasure. Do you believe that? One scripture that comes to my mind is that the writer said, I was once young, I am now old, and I have never seen the righteous begging bread. Do you believe it? I believe God supplies every need. He says, promised, that He would supply all of our needs according to what? His riches in glory. Our God is a rich God. If you and I have a need, and we have heard testimonies of those that went through the depression, saints of God that trusted in God. I love the one story that I have read in the book, Lest We Forget, which was concerning my grandparents. Everyone was poor at that time, and they had no money, and they had only enough food for the children that day. And my grandmother cooked the food for just the children, and she and my grandfather fasted that day. Well, they had to. But I mean, they did it with prayer. They went to the mailbox, and here was money that a man had owed them a long time before. Those kind of rich blessings you and I hardly know. We've never come down to no money in the bank and need to pay a bill like they did. But I love to read those things, don't you? Don't you like to see how God took care of the righteous? He took care of people. Oh, He's a rich God. And He wants to prove His riches to us in our day. Though we're in a time of prosperity in reality, look for ways for God to prove His great riches to you. He'll do it. I want to tell you again, He's proved to me this year in a way I never knew He could. And He can do it for you in whatever He allows in this year. Thank the Lord. So in the house of the righteous is much treasure. Another scripture, Psalms 34 and 10. They that seek the Lord shall not want, and I put in there, or have need of nothing. Do you believe that? Is that part of His treasures to us? Have you ever had to get on your knees and ask for the next meal? I would say none of us have. But you've had to ask for some treasures. You've had to ask for grace. You've had to ask for deliverance. You've had to ask for, you put in there what you've asked for, and He has done it. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read 33 and 34. And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. Oh, He loves for us to come before Him first. He loves for us to seek after Him for all of our needs. And then verse 34, take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So you're not going to be asking for a meal tomorrow, but you're going to have need of something. This day is dark. It is evil. We know not what a day will bring forth. I've been reading a book, and it's a true story. It took place soon after World War II, during World War II, in China. The young girl that starts out in the story is 11 years old. And she's born, or she was adopted into one of the wealthiest families of China. Her grandfather was head over the banking system of China. And it told all of the other wealthy relatives, and so she knew nothing of poverty. As a matter of fact, she was a very spoiled child. Whatever she wanted, she got. And if she didn't get, she would throw a fit. And so there came a day that the Japanese took over China, and they targeted the wealthy and the educated. And they were removed from their home, and all of their possessions were taken. All they could take out with them was what they could carry in their hands. And so this little family, along with, as a part of 27, were going to escape. And they had to dress as paupers so they would not look wealthy. And the road to freedom was a horrible way to go, and they barely made it alive. Hardly having food, water, everything was very, very difficult for them. This little girl had been, her parents had put her in a Christian school. And while she was not saved, she had heard of Jesus. And she heard that you could pray to him. From a little girl, from age 11, she began praying. And God began answering her prayers. And she eventually got saved. That's part of the story. But I'm inserting here is that you and I know material wealth right now. And I don't say this to darken our picture or our vision, but it's happened in other countries where that can be taken away from us. Don't hold on to those kind of things. Give it to God. He will take care of us should we ever be found in that same position. So the scripture says, don't you take thought of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I have it written out on the side. It says, first be eager to have God as your king. If you and I are settled in the fact that God is able to help us no matter what happens to us, put him first. Make his kingdom and uprightness your greatest care. Isn't that good? Make that your one goal. I believe I'm going to skip on down, and time is getting away. I want to leave a thought with us, how God looks on riches, how he looks on poverty. And I want to read James, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verse 5. This is how God looks on it. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath God not chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? So God doesn't look on your bank account this morning as being your asset. Your asset is if you are rich in faith. He says, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. So he is looking on us today. Be rich in faith. Be rich in faith. You may be poor, but be rich in faith. Trying trying to skip on down a little bit to save a little bit of time. Oh, I want to go back now to the very first scripture that I quoted of having a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I want to leave with you now the last part of that verse. But happy is he that keepeth the law. Those are going to be the ones that are rich. Let's all keep our vision set on the things above and not the things of the earth. Let's build upon those rich things that God has in his storehouse for you and me. Pray for me.